Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Ron Fitch, and it's the Coast to Coast Radio Show, and this is our March Madness special. We're going to have a lot of these specials going on all the way through March into April, the first week of April. And since it's a 30-minute show, I have to condense all these games that took place Thursday through Sunday. And I just want to break down what I thought. There were blowouts. There were upsets. There were dominant performances. There were poor performances. And there were some serious choke jobs. And I want to start with the choke job. First, you talk about Purdue blowing a 14-point lead with 13. Yale with 3 minutes left. USC with a lead. Missing free throw after free throw after free throw after free throw against Providence. Providence was messing up at the end, but USC kept screwing the game up, so Providence pulled that game out. And then finally, the mother of all choke jobs and meltdowns, the Northern Iowa loss to Texas A&M. I have never seen such a bigger choke job, and it's unfortunate because those kids really played hard against Texas A&M. And I want to break down this 14-2 run with 35 seconds left. They're up 12, Northern Iowa with 35 seconds left, and I want to give you the breakdown of and this is probably something that Iowa, you're going to live with this. Unfortunately, you're probably going to live with this the rest of your life if you're a competitor, even if you win. You're going to think about how bad you blew this last 35 seconds. First is a 10-point lead, turnover, down 8. Then the Northern Iowa player tries to throw the ball at Jalen Jones. It doesn't work. Jones gets the layup, 69-63. Brian Lohaus throws the ball away. This is where the coach has got to call timeout to calm everybody down. The coach just sat there and watched this train wreck happened. And then House hits a three-pointer, 69-66. They get a dunk. They break the pressure and get a dunk, and they're up 5. 18 seconds left. All right, we're okay now. But no! Alan Caruso comes down, makes a three-point play, and the foul that stops the clock with 12 seconds left. They inbound the ball. Wes Washburn was trapped in a corner. Really what he could have done is just take the ball and heave it as far as he could. And that's going to take about 6 seconds off the clock. You're going to have about, even if Texas A&M retrieves the ball in the backcourt, you're going to have 3 or 4 seconds. They take a long shot and you take your chances there. But no, he tries to throw the ball off the feet of the Texas A&M player, and he grabs the ball, scoops it in for a layup, and then we're going to overtime. And then in overtime, they had a chance to win, and the player had a chance, and he drove all the way to mid-half court. They still had about 3 more seconds left where you could have pulled up for 3, but they didn't. And then Texas A&M took advantage and won in disastrous fashion. That is as devastating a loss as you will ever, and I mean ever see. That one stays, I mean, when you lose 92-88, that one stays with you forever. You know, and that's bad. And Texas A&M moves on to play Oklahoma. And that was rough. Now the upset was Purdue getting upset by Yale, and Yale almost upset Duke. But the biggest upset was Michigan State, who on one of my polls I picked to win it all. And they're not a team that always gets clipped early. You know, Tom Izzo's team, Julie, get to the Sweet 16 at the very least, but they lost 90-81 to Middle Tennessee State, and they kept coming after Michigan State. They really beat them from start to finish. Valentine didn't have the best game, and he's a senior, Denzel Valentine for Michigan State. And this is how he goes out. And he says the worst loss of his life, which probably was. And Izzo definitely going to consider this the worst loss of his career. with these seniors. They were rolling. Everybody's picking them to win it all. That was a bracket buster. And then Syracuse annihilates Middle Tennessee State the next game. That has to just burn. That, if you're a Michigan State fan, that has to burn you up, sitting there watching Syracuse destroy Middle Tennessee State, something you should have did. They just didn't come to play. And without Tom Martin, that hurt them. They needed another penetrator, and that cost them. So they're home. So now I want to talk about the poor performance, and that was Arizona. That was ridiculous. I mean, Wichita State's a good tournament team, and they battled Miami to the hilt. But come on. Really? Come on. You didn't have to. You didn't have to go out like that. I mean, it ended up a 10-point game, but they were really up 20 the most of the game. And the effort was putrid. I feel bad for Sean Miller. That's probably a scar him. The Miller brothers really took it on the chin because Dayton got annihilated by Syracuse. So, they're going to commiserate together, the Miller brothers. Now, the most dominant performances were two teams. It was Kansas and it was Carolina. And Kansas, I was really impressed with them. Of course, they're going to beat Austin Peay. They won 105-79. I got that. But the beatdown they laid on UConn, which is a very good tournament team, which was rolling, 73-61. But they hit them with a sledgehammer early. And everybody's playing well. Mason at the point guard. Wayne Simeon's playing out of his mind. Graham doesn't miss from three. He sits in that corner for Kansas, and their ball movement is big time. And they get it to Graham, and he doesn't miss. And then you have Perry Ellis, the old wily veteran who people think is 30 years old, who's the glue, who could drive inside, who could score inside, who could hit a three, who's a good passer. He's just a tired – you don't want him in foul trouble. And then now Kalen Lucas is playing well in the pivot. So now they have become a complete team, and guys off the bench are contributing really well. And they're really, really balling. But I'm going to tell you, Carolina, if they play their potential, forget it. I think they could get by Kansas. I thought Kansas would be a little too mad for them, but Carolina's showing heart that I didn't think they had. I thought the Providence game would be a trouble, but they ended up taking them apart, fouling out Ben Bentel because the front line was just too strong for them. Bryce Johnson was just out of his mind playing well. And I'm going to tell you, the unsung hero of this team is Justin Jackson. He can do it all. He's got that little flip shot in the lane. He's a long, lanky player. He played done tough. And he can hit from the outside. He's a perfect Dean Smith, Roy Williams kind of player. And another guy who's under the radar, Joel Barry, Carolina hasn't shot it well, but Joel Barry shoots it well. And he could drive to the basket, and he's doing a lot of little things. And then Meeks is playing really, really well. Of course, you got the star, Marcus Page, who hit some big shots and made a couple of nice plays. They're as complete as they come. Kansas is the most toughest team. Carolina is the most complete team. And it looks like they're headed on a collision course on the opposite sides of these brackets right toward each other for a special championship. Now, there's a lot of games to be played. And even now, they play Maryland, who played horrible coming down the stretch, but beat North Dakota State and beat Hawaii 73-60. And they're playing well. And that could be a tough game for Kansas. I just think they're a little too big. I love Dwight Suleiman. Muhammad's playing for Maryland, but they're just a little too big. Villanova, which I'm happy for, beat UNC Asheville. And then they destroyed Iona 87-68. They're going to play Miami of Florida, and you saw the emotion of Jay Wright. You could tell the monkey's off his back. And is that no pressure? Now they're kind of, I would say, they're kind of playing with house money playing against Miami. I like Rodriguez of Miami and the rest of that crew. I like Miami and Coach Larrañaga to get to Kansas, to lose to Kansas. Duke did what they had to do. They beat game Yale team. They didn't run into Baylor, which I thought was going to give them trouble. So they're going to play Oregon. Oregon is a good team, but they're too shaky for me. I like Duke. I like Bryce. I like Allen, Grayson Allen, and Ingram stepping up, who could play himself into a number one pick in the draft. I know Ben Simmons just declared. It's going to be very interesting what happens with that. And then the aforementioned Texas A&M, Lucky Charm, Aggies go play Oklahoma, and I think the luck runs out. Buddy Hield on the mission. I watched him yesterday against VCU and against Cal Baker, Bakersfield. Cousins and all those, Spangler, they're playing solid, but Buddy Hield, he's got that look like Danny Manning had in 88 when Kansas went all the way. And that would be very interesting to see Oklahoma play Kansas, and Kansas is the overwhelming favorite this time. And the Oklahoma was the overwhelming favorite, was a better team, beat them twice. Kansas is in 88, Oklahoma beat Kansas twice, and they had that one man, Danny Manning. And then in the turn, in the Final Four, Kansas beat them in the championship game. Now look at this. You got the Final Four matchup, semifinals. A Kansas team similar to the 88 Oklahoma squad, which was powerful, against that one-man wrecking crew of Buddy Hield. And it's just, I didn't believe it was going to happen. I believe Oklahoma and Kansas are going to find a way to get to each other. That Duke is going to be very tough. It's not going to be, I mean, Coach K will game plan the heck out of trying to double and triple Buddy Hield. But then Cousins and Woodard and Spangler and Lavin will just have to pick up the slack, and then Buddy Hield will do what he has to do. Even if he's a decoy, he'll be a great decoy. He's going to do whatever it takes to get to the Final Four, whether scoring or doing other things. I just believe that. Indiana, Carolina. Indiana has a history of beating Carolina in these tournaments with Bobby Knight and Dean Smith, but this is different. Different era. Carolina's too strong. Indiana's going to be very keen. They're very good on the interior. Yogi Ferrell, who looks exactly like Isaiah Thomas, same jersey, is a great senior guard. It's got that senior leadership. They beat up on Kentucky, which only had two players score. They didn't give the ball to my man Briscoe. I'm going to have his dad on. I didn't understand how to use Briscoe. He's a way better player. I mean, he did a lot of little things, but they could have gave the ball to him. I don't want to hear any real excuses. He could have been a third option. That was ridiculous. But they deserve to lose, and Indiana deserved to win. Notre Dame squeaks by Michigan, squeaks by Stephen S. Austin. This is, you talk about the luck of the Irish. They're going to play Wisconsin. That's a pick 'em game. I mean, I can't call that one. And the winner is going to lose to Carolina, whether it's Wisconsin or Notre Dame. Virginia, who beat up on Butler. Virginia's just solid. And they out-Butlered Butler. And they're going to play Iowa State, who's quietly playing good in this tournament, beating Iona, beating Arkansas Little Rock. They can beat Virginia. They're battle-tested, you know. And, you know, they have the senior leadership. But Virginia with Brogdon, he's as good on-the-ball defender as they come. Toby in the middle. I think they get past Iowa State, but wouldn't be surprised if they did lose to them. Gonzaga, Syracuse. Gonzaga's on a roll. They're playing well inside with Sabonis playing against. I think Syracuse is going to get by Gonzaga only because of the fact that I think that zone, that 2-3 zone of Tim Boeheim is going to work against Gonzaga with Sabonis and Welcher inside. I think they could bottle them up a little bit. Unless Welcher hits the middle of the zone and can dish it out to their shooters, that might work. But Syracuse is linked with Malachi Richardson and Tyler Robinson, who is a rebounding machine. And I've known these kids from, they played around the corner from my house at Roosevelt Catholic, so I know these kids. I did not know Tyler Robinson was that good a rebounder. He's a wiry player, but he sticks his nose in there and gets rebounds, and that helps Syracuse. And Cooney's playing really good. I like Syracuse to beat Gonzaga, and Syracuse can get to the Final Four. They could beat the winner of Virginia Iowa State. But you, either one of these teams, Gonzaga, Syracuse, Iowa State, and Virginia, could get to the Final Four. Those are games that are going to go down the wire. But I'm going to pick Syracuse to come out to play Carolina to lose to Carolina. And then I got Oklahoma versus Kansas, and be careful. Oklahoma could win it. You can see Oklahoma versus Carolina. I'm telling you right now, with Buddy Hield and those guys. Now, if they play Duke Cousins, and like I said, Cousins and Woodard and Latin and everybody else, I think Lon Kruger has to assume that they're going to have some special – Coach K is going to have some special defense against Buddy Hield. Counteract that and make sure the other guys play well and you don't dribble drive all the way into the middle, because they're Duke is the best team at taking a charge. So they have to – their scheme has to be – airtight and perfect. I think somehow, some way, they're going to find a way to beat Duke. I don't think Duke is big enough. This is a game Spangler could have a big day in. And, you know, but that's the college basketball landscape. I do feel bad for Northern Iowa. It was just, but it was a choke job. You hate to say that kids choke, but a 12-point lead with 34 seconds left. All you have to do is get the ball in bounds a couple of times and get to the line. If you miss all your foul shots, if you get fouled and miss them all, they have to bring the ball up court. That takes time. They're probably looking to shoot a three instead of getting layup. It was an inbound pass, layup. Another bad play, wide open three. Another bad pass, layup. Then they score. Then another layup and one. So they got all layups. They had six baskets. They made six baskets in 34 seconds. And in the first half, they only had six baskets. They only made six baskets in the first half. But it was 34 seconds left, they scored, and that's college basketball. And it's funny, I heard this Jim Calhoun thing on another show. College basketball in the finals, usually the players screw up, and the other team wins off of a screw up. And then the pros is usually won by great shots and great plays. Steph Curry's, the Kawhi Leonard's are making plays. Like, now I'm going to get into it in a minute with LaMarcus Aldridge. But in the NBA, it's more plays when the playoffs come. You have choke job, definitely. But you have plays that you remember. We have a caller. Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? This is Pastor Friday from Richmond, Virginia.
Wow, and now I know you want to call about Ben Simmons, but before that, the Northern Iowa team may need your counseling services.
Yeah, I'm available to them.
Please.
Well, I mean, they should have won that game, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and you know what? And you know, we're older. When those guys get older, they're still going to think about this game. A lot of times, I hear the interviews of different players and stuff, and some of those losses are hard to take. This one has to be, like, gut-wrenching with 34 seconds up 12. That's just insanity how they lost.
Yeah.
And, ugh, yeah, that was devastating.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now Ben Simmons is on the market. We have the Lakers and the Sixers playing a game of chicken. Can you top this by losing, which is actually good because you get it in the draft? Who do you want? I saw Ingram. I was all Simmons until I started to see Ingram. And now if they need a point guard, this Chris Dunn from Providence is not only going to be an NBA player, I think he's going to be an NBA All-Star.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, they have their work cut out for them in making this decision, because I'm in favor of getting rid of some of the people in the front office and allowing us to suffer for a couple of years and build a team and give some of these guys an opportunity to become superstars, as opposed to trying to sign a superstar, because all of the guys that are superstars, in my opinion, are coming up on the back nine of their career anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, if they did draft Ben Simmons and you had him with Randall and Clarkson and Clarkson and Russell, you get a bus out. And Jeannie Bussett, from what I heard, is going to take over. I would be in favor of Mitch. I don't think we told Mitch Wade. Mitch won for us. You got to realize something.
Yeah.
David Stern's deal set them back Stern deal, which I'm ecstatic that he's not the commissioner. And I would tell him to his face. That's the one guy I'm going to tell to his face, you were horrible, and just walk away from him. I like Adam Silver. But that's neither here nor there. But I do believe that there's enough promise here. You could sign a Kevin Durant, who's younger, and plug him to the small forward to go with these young guys. I bet you he would like it. He lives in L.A., and I know he's thinking about it. And then you already got a veteran bench team. You get a coach. I don't know what's wrong with Byron. You go get Luke Walton or somebody that's kind of progressive, a Steve Kerr kind of guy, not a screamer, but a guy who's more of an X and O's guy. I think that you bring the best out of Russell and Clarkson. Screaming and yelling, it's 2016, so it's time. It's a new day. So it's a new season. It's a new day. It's time for a fresh new face. I think Luke Walton is perfect because he's in the system, and he learned under Kerr how to run the Spurs style and how to triangle, and you can mix that like Golden State's doing. I think that's perfect for LA. There's hope. Trust me, there's hope because this is a franchise that doesn't lose forever. It's not like the Knicks or teams that can never, ever get out of its way. This is a franchise that has always figured it out. Even when Wes was gone, when Chamberlain left, you got Kareem. Kareem, people said, well, he's underachieving. You ain't got Magic that lit a fire to Kareem. Magic gets HIV, and those guys retire, and they said, oh, they're done. And they, all of a sudden, here comes Shaq. Axel and Jones really put L.A. back. So I actually want to interview those two guys. And they got them back, and then Shaq and Kobe finished it. And then when Shaq left, they said, you're done. Then here comes Gasol. Now Kobe's leaving, you're done. Now Russell and Clarkson, you just can't. This is a franchise that is like the Yankees. You don't throw dirt on them because they survive somehow.
Right. I think if the Sixers get the first pick, they will be fools to draft another front court player. I think they should go with somebody like Buddy Hield. Because they have nobody in the backcourt. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's ready. He is ready. That kid is ready.
And it's something you might appeal to because you're a pastor. His mother, during each game, walks out of her chair, goes up in the hallway and prays, comes back down. And she did that yesterday. He hit about 4 or 5 threes in a row. So Buddy Hield is somebody you appreciate and like. He's a good kid from what I heard.
Yeah, I like it. As a matter of fact, if we didn't already have backcourt, a stacked backcourt, I would draft him. I would draft him. But to me, he's ready, and he's already got 24 on his chest. So you know he's ready.
he's definitely ready. But I think Simmons would fit L.A. perfectly because he's a front court player. That's a very good passer.
Yeah.
I think he fits L.A. He's been purple and gold all his life. Mount Verde High School, LSU, and Lakers. So it'd be a good fit.
What I like about him coming and the potential of him coming is that you really have another Showtime in the making.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Look at Oklahoma City. They gave Harden, Westbrook, and Durant a platform to become superstars. And right now, with the way the salary cap is, how it's increasing, we would be able to create an environment where you got four guys, you're giving them a platform to become superstars. And I'll suffer with a couple of years of these guys learning the NBA, and I'll stick with my team and root for my team. But in about four or 5 years.
But here's the deal. They might develop quicker than you think, number one. Number two, as they're developing, free agents are going to want to play for these guys.
Right.
And people love to live in L.A. That's why I do not worry about getting free agents.
Yeah, yeah. And I wouldn't mind having a Kevin Durant there, being that mature voice, because I think he's ready for his own team. He does not have it right
he's
now.
He's ready for his
but
own
he
team.
Is ready
he
for
lives
his
out
own
there.
Team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Listen, I got to let you go. But
okay.
Next time you call in, we're going to talk about these Virginia Cavaliers.
Okay. All right.
All
I
right,
then,
buddy. Okay. Also, I want to, before I leave, the San Antonio Spurs did beat the Golden State Warriors. Everybody, let's calm down. It's 87-79. It was a good game. Aldridge did what he had to do with 26 points and 13 rebounds. They did a good job of containing Curry, and everybody's like, they have the formula. Okay, if they have the formula, I want to see them go to Golden State and hold them to 14 points in Golden State, and now I will believe. I think Golden State's going to run them off the court in San Antonio, and then it's going to be nip and tuck again in San Antonio, where San Antonio slows them down a little. They can play a little power ball. It's a up-and-down game when you're playing in Golden State. And I'm going to get more into that as the NBA, you know, once we are done with college basketball. So I have another March Madness show Friday where we recap the Thursday Sweet 16 games.